Welcome, welcome to Freaked Out with your co-hosts, Liz and Landon.
Hello, everybody. What's going on?
Hey, hey. I cannot believe all the crazy things going on in the world at the moment. Although I do feel like 2022 will be a much better year than the last two, there's still going to be a lot of challenges to get through. But hopefully, some peace to come forward. I'm feeling optimistic.
Very optimistic.
Well, so today, I just wanted to let everybody know that I had gone through a few emails and I didn't find anything in the first 10 emails that I read that I wanted to focus on. So today I decided to take matters into my own hands and I actually found a case that didn't necessarily get the full picture. So this case today is about Shauna Howe. Shauna Howe was actually only 11 years old when she went missing on October 27th, 1992. Basically, she was preparing herself for her Halloween party at her Girl Scouts, and she was actually going as a gymnast. So she prepared, got herself all ready, and then headed off into the night. She did make it to the party, but unfortunately did not make it back home. And obviously, her parents got worried, and so they contacted the police about this situation. The police obviously looked around, and unfortunately, they heard that there was a potential abduction going on at the time of her disappearance, so things were not looking good.
Every parent's worst nightmare.
Definitely. Well, going into this investigation, 2 days later, her bodysuit that she had worn that night was found with semen on it. The following day, they found her body, which had been pushed, thrown off a bridge. They believed her to be alive before she was thrown, and her shoes were tactfully placed on the bridge. They also found a candy wrapper close to her body as well.
Candy wrapper.
Yeah. The investigators did take over 100 DNA samples, but there was no match when it came to finding anyone with the semen.
Wow, 100 DNA samples and not one of them was a match.
No, they even did people in the family, just to be sure.
Crazy.
The only thing they really had to work with at the time were two leads. The first was in relation to a man by the name of Jimmy O'Brien. Now, Jimmy actually has a brother as well, equally as creepy. He had tried to abduct another female, and it actually appeared that he was in jail at the time that the current abduction had taken place alongside with his brother, so they didn't look into it any further. There was also another creepy man by the name of Ted Walker who worked in a pizza shop who was constantly hugging Shauna and Shauna's siblings. It was a pretty creepy person. But that was it. That's all they had on this situation. They also
not a lot to go on.
Not even a little bit. They also took a DNA sample of this man and he was also not a match. A little bit of a bizarre twist in this story is nothing was found for the first 5 years. And then to the day, 5 years later, a little girl by the name of Shanae also went missing around the same location. And she was only five, like I said. Obviously, the police jumped on this. I think they informed the family as well that there was something that took place with a missing kid. Maybe they'd be able to link it. The family obviously got happy about that. But in this situation, the suspect that had taken Shanae was still at the scene of the crime. And at the time, he was 17 and a half years old.
That's really common for pedophiles. They usually like to insert themselves in the crime, like in the crime scene.
He was actually there, believe it or not, with the mother hugging her at the time. Disgusting. Well, they were able to determine it was him very quickly. He actually ended up telling them where the body was, and she unfortunately had passed on. But the issue here was that it could not have possibly been him because it was 5 years prior, and at that time he was only 17 and a half, so they didn't connect him as a suspect to her passing.
Well, he would have been 12 at that time, 5 years prior.
Exactly. 6 years later, a partial shoe print was found on her face. They also noticed that there was no restraints, so they started to assume that there was another person involved, but it basically went cold for a while.
Well, yeah, that would make sense. There was no bruising, no, restraint marks on her, so it would make sense. You would need another person to kind of keep control of the child or person.
Exactly. So the detective decided to re-interview Ted Walker, and good thing they did. That was the guy from the pizza store. They asked him a very specific question. They asked him how he found out about the disappearance of Shauna Howe. And he informed them right away that they had heard from the O'Brien brothers, which set off a little red flag.
Of course, yeah, because
they were supposed to be in jail.
Yeah, they were supposed to be in jail. And one of them also shortly after tried to abduct another female.
Exactly. February 2002, they got a match for a DNA off of Jim O'Brien. But here is the crazy part. They decided after they re-interviewed Ted Walker, he had also, when they went to go see, Jim O'Brien, they saw him and they saw a candy wrapper.
Oh, back to that candy wrapper again.
Exactly. So right away, they took a sample of him, and in fact, it was a match. They also went back and they re-interviewed again. Ted Walker made a deal with him and claimed that it was supposed to be a prank, and at least from his perspective, and that he would be the one to lure him in the vehicle asking for some Girl Guide cookies. Ted got a lesser conviction as a plea bargain and testified against the O'Briens and received kidnapping conviction of a third-degree murder sentence for 40 years.
That's crazy. What do you see happen leading up to the crime?
Well, quite a bit, actually. Ted had a lot of mental health issues, and I feel like he may have been on the spectrum as well. He did not have a good upbringing. He had a lot of childlike behaviors. He didn't know what was appropriate and inappropriate, so he didn't really understand what he could or couldn't do.
Makes sense, because he was always trying to, like, hug on Shauna and stuff, and
exactly.
all the kids in the neighborhood.
And for instance, he fancied little girls, but he fancied little girls from being a little boy himself. So he didn't understand the difference as he became an adult, kind of like that Peter Pan syndrome. I feel like he and the O'Briens had a few run-ins with each other throughout the years, but nothing solid. I feel like Ted didn't have a lot of friends, though, so anybody who was willing to communicate with him, he wanted to kind of enhance that relationship. So I do feel like he was giving the O'Brien brothers food to obtain some sort of comfortability between them.
Yeah, wanting to make friends. They're huge people pleasers.
Exactly. And so when that kind of all transpired, I feel like the three of them would get together and hang out. They could have potentially been drinking. I feel like it was more of an outdoorsy environment. A lot of junk collecting everywhere, drinking. Not necessarily drinking alcohol, but just drinking beverages. And the three of them would talk about their sexual experiences and sexual encounters. And this is the icky part. But I feel like the O'Brien brothers would go back and forth and talk about their little rape-related encounters with women in their past.
Disgusting.
They definitely got off in being in charge and in control of raping women, especially young women. They both got off on seeing a woman struggle. I feel like Ted didn't have as much experience at all when it came to being with a woman or touching a woman, but he definitely enjoyed watching. He was a kind of like a stalker, creepy, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, he did have a lot of fantasies, and perhaps he may have watched pornographic films and things about children, and he really enjoyed that kind of stuff. I definitely feel like he would constantly talk about pretty girls that he had encounters with. And because he worked in customer service, he would see kids all the time and young girls.
Makes sense. Working at a pizza store, you would run into a lot of kids and young teenagers.
Exactly. So he would talk about his experience with women. Well, the O'Brien brothers did not get any sort of, nobody really talked to them. Everyone was creeped out by them. And they didn't have a lot of social interaction with women or anyone for that matter. So they would ask Ted about his experiences and ask what the girls would look like and who he interacted with. And then, of course, because Ted saw Shauna Howe and her family quite often, he would refer to their family. And he did mention her a few times and described her. And then the O'Briens would be like, oh, God, I really wish I could, meet this girl. And Ted was like, well, maybe I can set something up. And he'd be like, wow, yeah, you think? And then he's like, well, maybe. And then the O'Brien brothers, I feel like they're the one who came up with this ridiculous idea of like, hey, I really want her to talk to me. Well, we want her to talk to us. So maybe we can like set something up and then kidnap her. But don't worry, we'll take her home as soon as we're done pranking her. It's just a joke. And, you know, Ted kind of was like, all right, you know. So the O'Briens were trying to figure out a good time and place to start to strike on this situation. And Ted started to listen in on conversations. And I think he heard something about the Halloween party that was happening at the Girl Scouts. And that is when he informed the O'Briens. And that was the perfect time for them to strike.
Worst mistake of his life.
For real. So I feel as though when it came time to take her, they were waiting out there for about an hour and slowly followed her as she started to walk home. So he came closer to her into the car basically asked her for the money for the cookies. And he said, hey, I've got the money right here. And she did walk towards the car close enough for him to grab her. I believe he kept telling her he wasn't going to hurt her and please trust him. She wanted to mention that before any of these things started to take place. She wanted me to mention a few things here. She said that she had one of the best days of her life. She actually really enjoyed the night out with her friends. She had mentioned that she felt pretty and cool. She couldn't wait to tell her family about it, specifically her stepfather, and her family were very, very close.
Wow, what happened during that tragic situation?
Well, babe, this part is probably going to be the hardest. And by the way, it does have mature subject matter, so just make sure your tiny humans cannot hear. Before I get into this, though, she does want me to tell her story because she says she was a hero in the situation as well. Once they had her in the car, she was not at all quiet. She pushed and she screamed. She tried with all her might to get away. She shows me that she kicked her hardest, and even when they were trying to hold her down, she even got an opportunity to bite one of them as well.
Well, at least she was fighting her way out of this.
She definitely was. I believe that one of them was covering her mouth with their hands, and I do feel like she was trying to get their hands off her mouth as well. She's showing me and showed me that it felt like hours that she was on this journey, when in fact it was only a few minutes. Now, the O'Brien brothers told Ted to stay put when they got to his house, and they would be right back. They took her upstairs, and she showed me that the house was gross and smelled funny, and they kept telling Ted as they were walking up the stairs that they're going to have fun with her before they took her home. And don't worry, we're not going to hurt her. Ted definitely felt like something was off, but he's a bit of a submissive person.
Yeah, didn't he say he heard some screams and yells coming from upstairs?
He did. So Shauna blocked out a lot of the bad things that took place in that room. And she also couldn't remember a lot of the things that happened. Most people block that kind of stuff out one way or another. But she's going to give me details of what she does remember. She remembered that there was like a dirty mattress. They both took turns trying to get her to submit to them. She says that she kept telling them that they were wrong and that she was just a kid. Even she, at 11 years old, obviously knew this wrong from these disgusting men.
Of course, she was raised right.
Exactly. She told them both that they were gross, and she kept asking for her mother. She even offered money at some point. They forced her to touch them, and unfortunately, she had to kind of do what they had asked because they kept threatening to kill her. But she fought it all the way. So after they were done being inappropriate with this child, she was trying her hardest to find a way out. She even remembered watching certain police shows with her parents, and she knew that she had to somehow get out of there and continue to fight on. She kept telling the O'Briens that her family would find her and that they knew where she was. She kind of tried to indicate like, oh yeah, I let my mom and dad know like that I was going to be hanging out with Ted. Like she was trying to, you know,
coax him into believing that they would find her.
Exactly. Exactly. And they kept hearing the sirens going off around them and started to panic. She continued to insist that the police knew, which did make everyone paranoid. She also shows me that they did lock her in a room for a while. There was a crack or something. The house was kind of old school from what she's showing me, and there was a lot of crooks and crannies, and she was trying to find a way out, but unfortunately she was not successful. She says that there was like a point in time where she was able to escape out of the room very quickly, but they ended up getting her at the end of the, at the bottom of the stairs. But she said she was free for a few minutes. So she also confirmed that she did, in fact, spend a bit of time in the trunk as well. That didn't last long, though, but she did say she was so overly exhausted, she ended up just passing out.
Which any young kid going through something like this, very likely to happen.
Exactly. And from what she's showing me, Ted kept asking, you know, the O'Brien brothers when they were going to return her. And they explained that they could never return her or they would get caught. Basically saying, look, dude, do you want to go to jail? Because she's going to tell the cops you did it, dude. And he was like, oh, no, can't have that happen. So he went along with the plan to kill her.
Wow.
She did hear a lot of their conversations and did try to find cracks to continue to escape. Neither one of these people had any idea of how they planned to kill her until they actually seen the bridge. She says at this point that she basically had nothing left in her. She knew it was coming. It was just something she felt. And they thanked her along this journey for being part of their little game and told her that she would not be forgotten, and they enjoyed her company and just try to make her feel good, I guess, and get rid of some of that guilt they were carrying.
What sick freaks.
Right? So they threw her body and they stayed for a few minutes to make sure that she had, in fact, died. But here's an interesting piece. She actually tells me that she was the one who grabbed the candy wrapper and brought it with her so that it could be found, so that these people could be caught.
Wow. All about that candy wrapper. I knew there was something about that candy wrapper.
Right. Exactly. Obviously, after a period of time, since this case was extremely cold, the three men would get together and relive what happened, and they were very shocked that they were able to get away with all this. I'm also being told that the O'Briens both hurt others, sex workers, a couple of homeless women. They did not kill them. They did kill them. The sex workers' bodies were found, but the homeless woman, I don't feel like, was found. They were all kidnapped, raped, and murdered. But Shauna feels like she really prevented that from happening any time after that.
Wow.
There were also several others that did not come forward that were also raped but were able to escape.
Wow. What do you see will take place in the future on this?
Well, there's some good news here. All three of those men will never see the light of day again. I feel like they'll all die in prison. I actually feel like one's going through something pretty significantly horrible at the moment.
Which they should.
Right? They'll never be able to hurt anyone again. She does visit her family a lot. Candy bar wrappers are her sign to everyone, cops, family, even the killers, to let them know this case would be resolved. She said that she was so happy that her family never gave up. She also wants to make sure that the world knew that regardless of the role, whether you're the victim or the family members, to make sure you never give up. She is so strong and bold, and she has long, long hair now. She helps other victims who are in a crisis situation and tries to help them out as best as she can.
Wow. That's great that she's doing something to try to help the world out. That was a super gruesome case, and I bet it was super tolling on your heart.
It really was. I did not anticipate when I started that case, I didn't anticipate what I would have gotten, but it was definitely hard on me.
Wow. Well, let's lighten up the situation a little bit here, and let's talk about Britney Spears and Jamie Lynn Spears.
Ah, okay. Yeah, a lot of crazy things are coming to the surface, but I do have a pretty good record of when it comes to Britney Spears and predicting things, so I figured I'd give it a little shot here as well. So in recent developments, Jamie Lynn Spears is going to continue to put a lot of pity party statements out there into the world. She claims that she's telling her truth, but in actuality is doing exactly the opposite. She doesn't realize, but she gave a lot of little Easter eggs through her podcast appearance and also in her book about exactly what was going on. At least people that have been abused understand it. Exactly. I think her and Brittany will be able to see eye to eye at some point, but unfortunately, she's going to continue to be very selfish and self-involved, at least in this situation for a while. She may love her sister, she claims, but she loves her reputation more. Jamie Lynn Spears claimed that she tried to help her sister and make attempts to help her and call her and, I'm here for you. It's easy to send somebody a text, but genuinely helping somebody is completely different. So shame on her for making that statement.
I don't feel like she really wanted to help her. I feel like she just wanted to dig and get information from Brittany.
I agree with that.
And feed it back to her dad.
And also to stop her from, you know,
living her life.
And talking about her bullshit anymore.
Yes, of course, yeah.
You know, and when it comes to this, I feel like she is going to end up... So Brittany is going to give her a tongue lashing with receipts included, because Jamie Lynn did the receipts thing. So now it's Brittany's turn. She's going to put that out there. She's going to make like one final statement, and that's going to shut Jamie Lynn Spears up for a while. Now, when it comes to Brittany... I feel as though this year is going to be a really, really good one for her. I don't necessarily feel like a child is coming this year, but I definitely feel like a child is looming. I also keep seeing a little girl, so maybe she'll get the little girl that she always wanted.
Oh, that would be so great for her.
I feel like she's going to continue to live her life as freely as possible. And I feel like she doesn't give a crap. She's going to do absolutely nothing for the entire year of 2022 unless it has something to do with just making her happy.
Which she should do, definitely.
So... alongside that, once the end of the year is all done, she's going to go out there and she is going to start talking her truth. I feel like a book is going to be coming out. I feel like there's going to be some sort of documentary about her. She's going to give it all. She's going to give videos and crazy things. She's got some stuff that she's got locked up, so it's all going to come out.
That's so great. I am so happy for her. I hope she does do this book. I'm in for it.
The part that I feel bad for Brittany about is there's going to be a lot of people still in the media trying to claim she's crazy, trying to put that bad juju out there. She'll always have that accusation in the world, unfortunately. But she will deal with something pretty significant in the media at some point again. Not necessarily now, but maybe in like 5-6 years. And they will again try to question her sanity. But it's all bullshit. They're just trying to do that. Bring her down.
Of course. We all would look like we're crazy if we were, you know, locked away, basically not able to do anything for the last 13 years. And then we go out there and start living free, everybody would say we're crazy.
Good news, though. I do see that she's going to get through this and will continue to push through. I feel like the person that she is now, she's just going to continue to shine. She'll be very loyal. I feel like the guy she's with is good. I feel like they're going to continue on their relationship. They're going to be happy. They're going to get married. She's going to continue to just be happy. And yeah, I'm feeling pretty okay for Brittany now.
That's good. We're here for you, Brittany. We are so happy for you. We're cheering loud and clear for you.
Yes, we are. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of episode 2. We will be back again next Thursday. We will be dropping episode number 3. I just wanted to let you guys know, continue to send your emails to my email address, which is freakedoutlizlandon@gmail.com, and we'll continue to keep checking on those cases, and we'll definitely give you a shout out if we pick your case.
Thank you guys so much for joining. We appreciate you all. Keep on listening, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.